Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to A Fine Time for Healing, a sanctuary for your emotional well-being. Your host is Randy Fine, author of the memoir Finally, and the inspirational self-help book Awaken from Life. Now, here's Randy.
Good morning, and thank you for taking time out of your busy holiday schedule to tune in and listen to A Fine Time for Healing. I am your talk radio show host, Randy Fine. If you've ever lost someone you love and wish there was a way to communicate with him or her, what you will learn today is sure to delight you. After having done a great deal of research in the field of evidential afterlife communication, my special guest, Roberta Grimes, will tell us why it was never intended that physical death should come between loved ones, and why, according to recent research, our illusory separation seems to be ending. Yes, seems to be ending. What could that be about? Roberta Grimes was previously my guest on A Fine Time for Healing on October 1st of this year to tell us about the afterlife as explained in her phenomenal book, The Fun of Dying, Find Out What Happens Next. I enjoyed her so much that I wanted to have her on again today to talk about her latest book, The Fun of Staying in Touch, How Our Loved Ones Contact Us, and How We Can Contact Them. Roberta Grimes is a business attorney, novelist, and speaker based in Austin, Texas. After being prompted by the great curiosity she had about two extraordinary experiences of light she had as a child, she has spent decades studying nearly 200 years of abundant and consistent communications from the dead and other afterlife-related evidence. Her work has been authenticated by some of the most dedicated, renowned, and respected researchers in the field of afterlife communication. She is on the governing board of the Academy for Spiritual and Consciousness Studies. And now it is my great privilege and honor to introduce you once again to my very special guest, Roberta Grimes. Hi, Roberta.
Hi, Randy. That was a great introduction. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Well, it's all true. It's all true. I'm so excited
to
have you back on my show today.
It's fun to be in this field because everybody is excited when I show up, I have to say. I mean, you'd think when I'm talking about death that people would say, oh, here comes the death lady again, but quite the reverse. I love the fact that this is such a happy topic.
It is a happy topic. It's all about hope. It's about it. And I think that this is metaphysics, death, you know, it's all related. But
yeah.
I think we've always been fascinated with things that we can't see, phenomenon that we can't see.
Also, I think we've always known this on a deep level. I mean, this is not our home. Our home is somewhere else, and we've always, it resonates with people very deeply, even people who haven't lost a loved one, because there's a memory below your conscious memory of where you came from and where you're going back to. And it's fun to watch people come to that, don't you think?
I do. And like we talked about in the last show, the major fear that people have is death. And when we understand that we are eternal beings, and that it's not like we're going up there to float around and just play harp.
Right.
We really are.
That's right.
We really are going to continue living, and that's so interesting and so promising. You say in your book, The Fun of Staying in Touch, that the dead have always been much more aware of us than we are of them, and that they've been trying for millennia to get our attention. Why do the dead have so much difficulty making their presence known?
Well, you have to understand how reality seems to be constructed. We have to forget most of what we've learned from mainstream science and understand the fact that this level of reality, what we think of as the universe, is all energy. It's not solid. It's just not solid at all. And interspersed with it are just at higher vibratory rates, or at least 6 inhabited levels of reality that, among other things, contain our afterlife. And that's really the real reality. This is the temporary one. And so all of those people, it's very like, the easiest way to understand it is to think of your mind as a television set tuned right now to this level of reality and to that body on this level of reality. And then when you die, you just tune to a slightly higher vibratory rate, your mind does, and you pick up a whole new solid reality, just as solid as this one is. So it's easy to go lower in your vibratory rate, but it's very difficult to go higher. So there are dead who have graduated to a slightly higher vibratory rate, and coming, you know, lowering their vibratory rate to be near us because they love us and they miss us and they want to comfort us. And we're in terrible grief because here we are. We think they're actually dead. They're not dead, and they're trying to sort of help us know that, because then they can sort of be happy in their lives knowing that we are too. It's been a very agonizing process. It's clear for millennia that people had to suffer through the suffering of the people grieving for them who thought they were dead. But it's hard. Your question is, why is it hard? It's hard in the same way that if you had 2 TV channels and there were live shows and the host of one was trying to communicate with the host of another of them on that different vibratory rate without cell phones or without electronics. It's impossible, really. It's amazing that they're able to do it at all, but they're learning how to do it.
And what do we do if they're doing this? What are we doing that's blocking their efforts? What are we doing that's making us not be able to receive this?
Well, we're all different people, and everyone's sort of thought processes are differently constructed. Some people just naturally are more, quote, psychic than others. They're more open to experiencing things that are energy-based and are not based in this level of reality. So that's one thing. But the most important, really, is that negative energy, negative thoughts, fear, anger, and most of all, actually, grief, act as a barrier to communicating with the dead. And that's kind of sad and ironic when you think about it. But if people don't quickly kind of push past the worst of their grief, they're literally barring communication from those they love who have just died. Isn't that sad?
That is sad. And as humans, we do have a grief process, and there is no time to put on that grief process.
Right.
So
that's right.
I mean, no. So, right, to push past it.
It's hard.
I guess eventually that grief process.
It.
Yeah.
You can't get over it. You never will.
Right.
But you can say, I'm going to make sure that I know and I'm comfortable with the fact that my loved one has transitioned to another level of reality and is still alive. And I'm going to give him or her that gift of learning that they're still alive, and then of being open to the possibility of communication. That's the best we can do. I don't mean to tell anybody get over it, because you never will, but you can learn to make your grief soft enough so that it's not a barrier.
Right. I mean, we do, when our loved ones pass, we do want to talk to them, and we do want to reassure them that we're okay, because when they think we're not okay, they cannot move on, right?
That's right. That's hard. Exactly right.
Right.
And it's unfortunate that people don't know these things, because it has caused a lot of pain, pain for people who are grieving here, and pain also for people who have died and are still perfectly alive and have a wonderful life there. It's the life there is so much more fun than it is here. And to be fretting about us is something we really don't want. We want them to go on and be happy.
Absolutely. And they want us to go on and be happy, too. And they know we're going to be with them shortly. Because time is not a factor.
Yes, that's a great point. People need to understand they don't miss us. A, they can lower their vibratory rate anytime they like and be with us. But B, from their perspective, it will seem as like it's a minute before we get there. That's apparently the case, because time is just very different in the afterlife levels.
That's so cool. I think we all get signs and signals from people that we've lost in terms of flickering lights and phone calls that you pick up and nobody's there, and things that we can easily dismiss as, okay, well, maybe that's my imagination, or songs that we hear that come on the radio or, you know, at specific times, and then we get chills or... But it's easy to rationalize those things away.
That's right. And then people do that, too. And if you share them with your friends, they say, oh, that was your imagination, or, oh, that was a coincidence. So, fortunately, most people don't share those. Unless they really trust someone, they won't tell you what they've experienced. And I know that because even when I was working on this book, I would talk with people, and I'd have to talk with them for half an hour before I would hear some amazing story that they trusted me finally enough to tell and said, you can put in your book if you like. Several of the things that made it to the fun of staying in touch are things that I learned from people randomly just because I took the time to talk with someone who had recently lost someone. And I think it's almost universal that the attempt is made to give us these signs. But whether we're willing to pick up on them is another matter.
That's true. That's true. I mean, I've witnessed this so many different times. I've actually been to, I've seen practically all the famous mediums out there, and I've been to, you know, their events and seen what happens. And one thing that really blew my mind was there was a young woman sitting in front of me, and I didn't really talk to her anything. I didn't know anything about her, but she was there hoping to get in touch with her sister who had passed. Of course, I didn't know that. And when we went to intermission and the lights went on under her chair, now we're in a convention center, no windows, nothing like that. Under her chair is a dead bird, warm.
Oh.
Just died.
Oh, my word.
And when she found this bird, she said, oh, my God, that's my sister. This is my sister's way of telling me. They had some kind of thing about a bird. And there, under her chair, it was freaky.
That is freaky. Oh, but my goodness, the poor bird. It's hard
to
be a sign.
I know, the poor bird. The poor bird, but the poor, you know, I guess it had a purpose, and the purpose was to let her know. But I know, it's like there's no way that bird could have gotten in there. It was just the strangest thing. But anyway, you know, and I've had...
But that's an example, Brandy, of the kind of thing the dead will do. Sometimes it is meaningful only to you. It wouldn't matter to someone else. But if something happens soon after someone died and it's very meaningful to you, a common thing that they do is play songs on the radio or as music in an elevator that is meaningful to you alone. That is a sign. Don't discount it. Poor bird. But still, I mean, the bird, as you say, had a useful purpose. If indeed that was an uplifting moment for someone who had survived, that's great.
Right. I mean, I don't know what exactly it meant to her, but it was freaky. She got it right away.
Oh, wow.
So when you talk about music and elevators and things like that, Are the dead able to manipulate our reality in ways that help us recognize their communication attempts? How do they do that?
Well, in fun of staying in touch, I had a consultant because I couldn't. I mean, it's demonstrably true that they make things happen that you would think they couldn't do. There's a whole other category of things they do which involve literally being able to manipulate our reality with their minds. But these, suddenly turning on a radio and having a song on the radio that was the one you danced to at your wedding and having that happen 3 times in the first month after someone died and the song is 40 years old, that kind of thing, that's not coincidence,
mm-hmm.
obviously. And this, it's been reported even in cases where stations normally don't play that kind of music. I have a wonderful story or two that have to do with walking into a restaurant where then the song started playing, and the woman went up afterwards and said, was that on your playlist to this live performer? And he said, no, actually, I have no idea why I played it. Well, that was a sign. Isn't that fantastic?
It's fantastic.
But my consultant with the book was Mikey Morgan, who died in 2007, I think. He was only 20, and he has been communicating through his mother in amazing ways. I'm a skeptic. I don't believe this stuff, and I certainly didn't believe in this at first, but I've seen Mikey answer hundreds of questions about the afterlife, and I've been researching this my whole life, and he knows more than I do, so I have to believe in he's real. So when I was trying to understand how do they do this stuff, Mikey told me, and he told me in such a way that I just basically quoted him in the book. But what they are able with their minds to manipulate, and time is an important factor. They know where we're going to be in the future. They know what the station will be playing in the future. And they just basically bring those two things together. And he said it's really not that hard. It's just if we don't pay attention, they'll stop doing it. But Mikey, for example, still gives his mother song signs every single day. And he affects DJs in other ways as well. They were driving along a highway. I tell this song in the book, the story of the book. They were driving along a highway and listening to the radio, she and her surviving son and her husband, and talking about how happy they were on this trip they were taking. And at that moment, the DJ said, he likes it. Hey, Mikey. Now, that was a radio thing 40 years ago.
Yes.
If you're old, you know that. You know that it was from a cereal commercial.
Right, Life cereal, right.
Exactly right. I forgot this kind of cereal, but yes, Life
yeah,
cereal.
Life cereal. Uh-huh.
But that's the kind of thing they can do. They can influence the minds of the living to say or do things that the living do not know why they're saying or doing it. Their minds are much more powerful than ours. But yeah, they can do that. They can change the traffic pattern so that you will be in the right place to see a bumper sticker or a license plate that's significant, that you'll recognize as significant. So all those days when the highway's been all clogged up, it might not have been regular traffic. It could have been somebody trying to make sure his mother got to see that his name was on somebody's license plate.
Right. Right.
So if you want to curse someone, curse the dead. But that's the kind of thing that they can do, apparently. And they do it all the time. All the time.
That's just amazing. Well, I've definitely experienced it. So, right, because my first husband, who I divorced, but who has passed long many years ago, we danced to the song, and this was an old song at the time. We danced to the Frank Sinatra song, All the Way.
Yes.
And I'm telling you, that song comes on in the weirdest places. and I get acupuncture every week, and she always plays like a real, the kind of meditation music or very soft music. And every time she goes to put it on, she goes, who keeps leaving this Frank Sinatra tape in here? What's that? You can't listen to that, and I just kind of smile to myself. It's there every time. It's the funniest thing.
So, that's a great one, actually. Thanks for sharing that.
I know. I mean, he's done other things, and I actually talked to him through a medium, and it was amazing. I just laughed the whole time. It was the funniest thing. And he confirmed a lot of what I had noticed, and some of things were kind of very personal, not like, oh no, kind of personal, but he had witnessed conversations my husband and I had a week ago. It was the weirdest thing. And he said he loved my husband and, he'd been watching him. So, yeah, very interesting, yeah. Very interesting. I just laughed. I thought it was amazing.
The love connection is the important one. People that love us and that we love are mm-hmm. very, very close to us, even if they're no longer in bodies. In fact, they're probably closer to us than they were in bodies because they're not out earning a living or doing anything else. They have a lot of fun. Let's not gloss over the fact that they have a lot more to do there than here, and it's all fun. But love is much more important to them then, because they don't have the all the things in between that we have here and all the petty stresses. So it's glorious, isn't it, when someone is so much still a part of your life?
Oh, it's amazing. It's amazing to know that they're right, that you never lose these people and that you'll be reunited again physically at some point. I think a lot of people are under the misconception that they need the help of mediums to make a clearer connection with the other side, but that's not necessarily so, is it?
No, it's not. Not anymore. For example, Mikey communicates with his mother by pendulum. After he died, he arranged for her, by some odd circumstances, to learn how to use a pendulum. She's not psychic at all, and pendulum seems to be a rather good way for more advanced people who have died to communicate with people here who are not psychic. They're clueless. She has gotten mm-hmm. to the point with the pendulum where she, because I don't know if anyone, just to explain quickly, a pendulum is a crystal suspended over a disc that has numbers and letters on it, and the person holding it has to be the one with the love connection with the person who has died, and you hold the pendulum perfectly still at the end of a string, and the dead person then moves it using your energy and his, and mm-hmm. spills out, gives you numbers, spells out words. She's gotten to the point now where she's hearing his voice in her mind, but it took her 5 years, 4 years to get there. But that's one thing that people can learn to do. You have to be careful. You have to protect yourself, and there are ways to do that. If anyone is interested in learning about pendulum communication, I can get you more information. Just send me an email through robertagrimes.com. But people can learn to do scrying, which is another thing, which is everything old is new again. It's really surprising, Randy. Scrying is a method of using a black-backed mirror to communicate with the dead. And Raymond Moody did a lot of work with this in the 80s and developed what he calls a psychomantium, like the Greek oracles, which were ways to communicate with the dead as well. There's electronic communication galore being developed. We saw a heyday of it in the late 70s or early 80s to mid 80s even, and even into the 90s. People were working with sort of black box things they'd worked out. One of the black box ideas that works was developed by Thomas Edison, and he gave it through the Skoll Experimental Group, who communicated with the dead in the late 90s. People have tried the design he sent them, and it works. So there's all kinds of things like that people can do if they're, inclined in that direction. There are guided afterlife connections. My friend Craig Hogan has developed a wonderful one, which he offers for free on his website. If you just Google, I think it's spiritualunderstanding.org, the directions are there. It's not easy. It's 8 steps, and you've got to sincerely do the steps. But people who do them, I've talked to some, they're able to literally be in a reality with their loved ones, walking on a beach, walking in the mountains, hugging, having a wonderful conversation. It's a real experience. I don't understand it, but I understand where it happens. There is at the afterlife levels, there's kind of a halfway place, which is not part of the afterlife, where we go when we are out of body, when we go at night to meet with our guides and stuff. And what this process does is to allow people to learn how to go there when they're awake. And it's exciting. All these things are happening. And then there's the soul phone, which is being worked on now zealously.
Well, that's, yeah, so, yeah, I was going to actually get to that because that blew my mind. I can't imagine picking up a phone and talking to them. So, tell us about this cell phone. How is this going to work? And is this going to be, like, commonplace for everybody?
Eventually it will be, but it will be a while. But I think it's important to understand how difficult it is to do this. Where the dead are is in it's almost like a different dimension that interweaves with our present dimension, but it's at a different vibratory rate because you can't just run a wire. You know, even it's even hard to use anything like radio signals to do it. But from the mid-80s, people have been communicating by telephone with the dead. It generally initiated by the dead, and they mm-hmm. told us back then what they were doing was they would build at their level of reality, that slightly higher vibratory rate, they'd build a telephone over the one on your table, and then they'd place a call. You'd pick it up, and you'd be talking to someone, hearing the familiar voice of someone who has died. And then when you later got the bill, there would be no record anywhere that there was a call that had been made. Those were the first attempts. The attempts being made now are with computers, and they're fairly sophisticated. I mean, I've heard the voices that have been recorded of the dead through computers, and it's quite astonishing. But what seems to be happening is, just as seems to have happened 100 years ago at the turn of the 20th century, now the dead are trying very hard again to help us know that they're there. And there are teams of dead experts, dead researchers who are working very zealously in this field. Some of the names are quite famous and some are not. Hmm. But they seem to need to work in different stations for different languages. Sonia Rinaldi, who's a wonderful researcher in Brazil, has done fantastic work in the Portuguese language. I mean, through her computers, people are talking. Hundreds and hundreds of people have talked with their dead loved ones. Some of them over and over again have conversations with dead loved ones. But it's in Portuguese. Try telling Americans that's anything. Yeah, for some reason, it just doesn't penetrate. So work is being done now by the dead on developing a North American station, which will interface here with people on their computers and will allow people here to talk with the dead. And that's the start of the soul phone. It's speculated eventually we may be able to refine the technique enough for people to have an app. A sort of after-death communication app.
Speechless.
That would be nice, wouldn't it? But the idea really is to make it so that people who have just lost a loved one can be reassured. You know, children can say, I'm okay, Mommy. Someone here is taking care of me. I'm fine. Think of the difference that would make in someone's life who had lost a child. People who've been married 50 years can communicate, and she can say, okay, honey, this is how you make that soup you love that you really miss. You know, all the things that people who love one another say and do would be able to continue that. Not all the time, maybe, just even a couple times, just to be reassured mm-hmm. everyone's okay.
Right, right. From what I understand about communication with the dead, they're real message is that I love you and I'm okay. And
that's right.
It's not really about all the nitty gritty. It may be I'm sorry, but it's really the fundamental feelings of I love you and I'm okay, rather than all the details. And so is that correct? I mean, would we be chatting with them the same way we chat with others, or is it really more about mm-hmm. reassurance?
It's more about reassurance, in part because we're in different parts of our lives now. They're in a consolidation phase, almost R&R phase, getting over what always is traumatic, which is an earth life, and sort of consolidating things. We are still in that earth life, still trying and struggling to get through it. So it's just a matter of, it's like a postcard home, basically, which mm-hmm. is what all the signs they give us are meant to be. Just a postcard, I'm okay, I'm now going to go on, I'll see you shortly. And So I don't think it's going to, but I know, frankly, I right now know one woman who's communicating routinely with her husband this way. In fact, I know several people who are in various ways communicating extensively with their loved ones. And it's
isn't
an ongoing relationship then. What?
Yeah, I mean, but isn't it keeping their loved one from progressing, from moving on to the next level and getting away from this earthly physical world?
There is evidence that we've got to allow them to complete their transition. Once it's completed, and especially if they're at a higher vibratory rate, they seem to be able to interact. They easily lower, like Mikey with his mother, he easily lowers his vibratory rate, chats with her by pendulum and goes off and does things. But he's a level six being. He's at the highest level below the source at this point. And he came with a very specific purpose. He tells his mother, before you were born, we planned, we were going to do this because I needed to re-experience life on Earth. And I planned that I was going to die before I was 20, but I didn't want to leave. So that was my last planned exit point, was when I was 20. And he died in an accident in which nobody else was even injured. But that's, like everything else in what is really a very complex reality, it's very variable. We need to let them go. For us to hold on is a very bad thing. For them to freely choose to spend time with us is a thrilling thing. It's very, very different.
Right, right. So it's their choice. It's their choice, not us constantly calling on them and saying,
choice.
You know, please reassure me because I'm having a hard time.
That's not what they're for. Yes, very, very good point. That's not what they're for. And my hope is that as this becomes something everyone knows happens, we will be able to wake up the scientific community to investigate the afterlife evidence. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? Because we've had very good evidence for more than 100 years that the dead have been trying to get to us, that there is an afterlife. And actually, it's a new branch of physics. When scientists start to look at it, physics is going to change rather dramatically because they're stuck in the weeds at this point. But that's my personal hope from it. My personal hope is it will make the scientific community stop insisting that what's true is not true, because that's not science. I mean, if we're not looking at everything and trying to freely investigate it, that's not science anymore.
Right. Well, I mean, as far as science goes, they are, they don't necessarily, they're not open-minded to a lot of things that exist, you know.
That's true.
I mean, not to get into it, but cures for cancer, you know, cures for cancer, things like that, that do exist that they're not willing to look at.
Energy medicine. Oh, yes. Yes.
Yes.
So there's, yeah. Well,
we don't know everything.
No, but this is the gateway for them. Once they understand that all of the afterlife stuff is right, then all of the stuff which we used to call paranormal, which, by the way, I consider a pejorative term, I think it's an insult. It's perfectly normal. It's just that it's not recognized yet by the scientific community. But all the wonderful things that are being done with energy medicine, for example, as you just said, they'll have to look at all of that then, because nothing is as they tell us it is. And
no.
This is one way we'll be able to help them know that.
Right, right.
So it's an exciting time to be alive, Randy.
It is. It's so exciting. It's so exciting. And I'm so glad that I have this forum to be able to get this information out and have wonderful people like you come on and talk about it. You said in your book that the greatest electronic breakthrough in the field of afterlife communication is the Internet. How is that so?
Because people can get information. Before, really, as recently as the mid-90s, no one could know this stuff. You had to go to the media, and the media was all sort of in the pocket of the scientific community, and the scientific community decided 100 years ago to make atheism a fundamental dogma, and they actually, that's written, various books carry that as a fundamental dogma. Anything with a dogma is a belief system. So basically, they turned themselves into a religion. But all those people were gatekeepers between you and the truth. Once we started to have a way for people to freely search out their own information, just a floodgate of was opened, and an enormous amount of information was made freely available for free for anybody who just wanted to search on things. A warning, though, no one should trust Wikipedia on any of these subjects. Sad to say, because Wikipedia has decided that it has a fundamental dogma as well, which means it's now a belief system too. So don't go to Wikipedia. There's an effort being made now to develop an encyclopedia of information in this field, and I bless the people doing it, because we need an easier way, ever easier, for people to find this information. But just searching on it, ignoring Wikipedia, and looking at the other sources of information, you can learn just about anything about these areas of the greater reality that we're trying now to understand. It's a great, great time to be alive.
You're right. You're right. There is a vast amount of information about this on the Internet. So, I urge people to go. I know that you do, too. And in the back of your book, you have all kinds of resources. But I urge people to go do their own researching and read and read and read, because there is endless information that supports this.
And what's important about the reading is that then you satisfy yourself about what's true. No one should take my word for anything. I mean, I'm just a messenger bringing you great news, but you shouldn't. I mean, I did my research. I wrote these books, so what has taken me almost 50 years will take, at the most, will take you a year, and that's to get to the level of certainty about these things. As you point out, Randy, there's an appendix in the back of each of my books which contains some 70 books that you can read in various subjects, just so that you'll, any area you're not sure about, you'll be able to get more information about it. If you do that, if you sincerely do this research, you will come to exactly the same place where we are, and your life will be transformed in the most amazingly positive ways.
Oh, I think it's wonderful. I do. I'm still working on my husband of 27 years. I don't know what you call it, but who I am and what I believe and all that kind of thing. But he's still resistant, you know, still doesn't want to take it on himself. It's amazing.
I've been married 42 years to a practicing Catholic, so you can imagine. And he's a very sweet practicing Catholic. He's he supports me in what I do, and he'll ask me questions every so often. I'll try to answer them. He'll say, "Don't say that," and I'll say, "Will you ask the question?" But he doesn't want that answer. Whatever the answer I gave him was, he doesn't want it. So it's love is what's the most important thing in the world. And if we have husbands that love us regardless, that's the best love there is, frankly.
Right, right. I always say, you know, if my husband was like woo-woo like me, I would be, we'd never get anything done. So
that's also, there's that too. Somebody has to keep their feet on the ground. But see, I think of this as very practical, solid research. Because, in fact, what we're finding is true. In fact, we're finding a whole new branch of physics that's consciousness-based and is probably going to give them their theory of everything they're still searching for to unite all of physics. I mean, this is practical. Learning what happens at death so that we, A, aren't afraid of it, but, B, also can do it right, it's all practical.
It is.
The problem
You're
is
right.
that we have in our society so many beliefs that get in the way of our just plain looking at what's true. And those beliefs are harmful. They're harmful to us, and they're harmful to those we love who might otherwise, frankly, be living much happier lives, both on this side and on the other side. So that's why we spread the word, because the more people who free themselves from these old belief systems that are basic to our society, the freer everybody will be. And the happier.
That's right. I'm a hospice volunteer, and people say, "How do you do it?" And I say, because I'm very, very comfortable with death, because I know that I'm there while the person is transitioning, not dying, and that is a very, very positive thing. So, yeah, you know, I mean, I'm not, I have no fear of death. I understand where we're going, and I'm excited about it.
I'm excited about it, too.
Yeah, I mean, to be removed from this earth where it's hard here, you know, it's hard work
it's
here.
It's hard here.
It'd be nice to have a break.
But to answer a question some people are now thinking, so why don't they kill themselves? Well, one of the things we learn as we do this work is that each of us has planned, this is school, basically. This is like a very bad afternoon in school. That's what your life is. And we plan our lives to learn certain lessons. And all the people around us who are we think are impacting us negatively are part of our pre-planned lessons. Some of the people... people who have died say some of the people that they realize they are their best and truest eternal friends were their horrible mother-in-law and their awful boss in this life. You know, they took
Amen.
A, like a play. They took a sort of a role in our lives for our mm-hmm. betterment. But it's all love. It's nothing but love. So
right.
when you know those things. You're never going to kill yourself. You want every bit of value of learning you can get out of this lifetime. Plus, killing yourself can put you in some very negative post-death situations. So that's something that we have to make sure everybody understands is never, ever, ever an option. But
yeah, that's a huge, huge point. Huge. Very important. Yeah.
So do you have any other questions about all of this?
I mean, we're kind of running out of time, but can you just tell us what you're up to and how people can get in touch with you to learn more about you, your books, your seminars, whatever you do?
Well, I'm doing several things now. I'm going to be in Seattle speaking. That's my sort of most current thing. I'll be there this weekend on Friday the 12th. I'll be at East West Bookstore at 7 p.m., and that's free. And anybody who's anywhere near Seattle, come meet me and introduce yourself. I'd love to talk with you. And then on Saturday morning, rather, the 13th, at 10:30 in the morning, we'll be doing a workshop on these books. And I'll tell you some things that didn't make it to either book, but they're very exciting. I have a website. It's robertagrimes.com. I blog there. I hope you'll read my blog. I hear a lot of comments from my blogs. Some people just email me, and some people comment on the blog posts themselves, but I have a lot of fun doing them. They're all about the reality we are coming to understand exists, and the basis for our understanding still is the afterlife evidence. I also do a radio show called Seek Reality, and it primarily lives in podcasts, and those are available on iTunes for free. Just look for Seek Reality with robertagrimes.com. I have, believe it or not, 170,000-plus subscribers now. Isn't that amazing?
Oh, congratulations. That's amazing. Oh, that's great.
I don't know how they found me, but they did. But anyway, I'd love to hear from you also if you listen to my podcast. I always answer emails. So if anyone wants to comment on anything through my website, just go look for the little envelope at the bottom of the page, robertagrimes.com. I'm happy to hear from you.
Perfect, perfect. Well, I don't want us to get cut off before I say goodbye, and thank you so much for coming on. So thank you. I appreciate this so much that you come in and talk about this. This is always fun with you, Roberta. Always have a great time.
Thank you. Well, it's fun with you too, Randy. Thank you so much for having me, and thank you everyone for listening.
Oh, you're so welcome. Well, go on and have a beautiful day.
And you as well. And consider yourself hugged.
Thank you. Okay. Thanks. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye. Well, we are out of time, but if you have any comments or questions, you can also reach me on my website, randygfine.com. That's RANDIGFINE.com. And you can email me at loveyourlife@randygfine.com. Randy is RANDI, always with an I. Thanks again for tuning in and listening to A Fine Time for Healing. This is talk radio show host and author Randy Fine, signing off until next time. May joy and serenity always be yours. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening. You can find out more about Randy at her website, randygfine, RANDIGFINE.com. Join her next time for more of A Fine Time for Healing.
hard not to hesitate, but we can't wait to be the change. There's a better way.